All our friends out there, it is now May the 26th, 2010, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and this is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net. Listen, there's a week of, well, a topic on atheists and the abyss of the atheists. Well, tonight it's all about the evil that is out there in the world. What does the atheist have to say about it when they do see injustice and rape and war and murder and all the rest? I don't know what the answer is, really. I don't know what the source would be concerning the, the view of the atheist. The atheist may say that all religion and all those in religion are the ones that cause evil. There's a vast blame shifting that goes on. But again, let's go, all the way. Logical conclusions. Let's take the view of the atheist. There is no God. And if there is no God, then again, as we dealt with Monday night, when it comes to the issue of that hopelessness, what's the origin of everything, the meaning of everything, the source of everything, the direction of everything, and, the afterlife, so many different things are brought in. We are on a series this week on these live radio broadcasts, simply entitled for the week, The Atheist's Abyss and Friendship with Lucifer. So listen, if the atheist is listening tonight, or if they do listen to the archives later on, they might find it amusing, but there's no problem. We'd love to engage and discuss. We've talked with, at the university, atheists, those who've claimed to be atheists over the years, and we've been reading Richard Dawkins' The God Delusion. We've been reading Alistair McGrath's The Dawkins Delusion. We've been looking at the videos, the American Atheistic Society, and wow, I see a lot of anger there. I see a lot of bitterness there, maybe a lot of fear. It would seem that the entire motivation of the American atheist, let alone those in Britain, listen, I'm watching a video that shows us, it's trying to tell us that England is one of the most, godless nations now in all of Europe. Now, I'm not sure that's the truth. But it does seem that there is a lot of vehement anger and mockery and assault on religion, on Christianity. Seems like they know no bounds. Now, when it comes down to the atheist, and let me ask you tonight, where you stand. If you're listening brand new tonight, my name is Russ Dizdar. The website to go to for information and background, ShatterTheDarkness.net. This week on the topic, The Atheist's Abyss and Friendship with Lucifer. Monday night we dealt with The Atheist Ship is Sailing, and it has a gaping hole in the soul. Well, it's the abyss of hopelessness. I just don't see how the atheist can give anybody hope. I just cannot see that a human being claiming to be an atheist, saying there is no God, and just claiming here we are, out of nowhere. Nowhere to go. What's on the other side of death? Well, the atheist may simply claim they don't know. And so I'm not sure that the best place to get answers is the atheist. Monday or Tuesday night, we dealt with the atheist's bitter cup and the angry spirit and the quest to de-evangelize the saved. And I mentioned Richard Dawkins' book, The God Delusion, in which the goal, if you read his introduction, is that any religious person reading his book would turn into an atheist by the time they get done with it. Now, again, as a believer, here's my side of the fence. For 35 years, the book doesn't scratch the surface of tempting me to give up God, to give up Christ, to give up the hope and the presence and the power and the grace and the joy that is found in Christ and the truth. Well, that has set me free. And so as I look, as one that did not one time in my life know God, but now have known God, walk with God, the reality of God is not a question for me. Maybe it was before I came to know Him. And the majority of thousands and thousands of individuals that I've talked to over the years, those that did not know God, the majority would simply say they just don't know. or maybe they believe there is a God. There's been very few atheists. I mean, I could look at the newspaper. I don't see any meeting advertising the big convention of atheists. I don't know of anywhere in the city here to go to an atheist meeting. Maybe I could find one. Wonder what it'd be like. Would they have snacks and juice and coffee? And in the discussions, would it be a meeting where all they do is blame religion and justify their belief that there is no God? It seems to me that in the atheist, there is a psychological propensity, a need to extract God from their conscience. Something's operative on the inside. I mean, even the book of Romans chapter 2 talks about that the conscience either accuses or excuses our behavior when we are going against the imprint of the law of God. So tonight, Wednesday night, we're going to talk about this, the atheist view of evil. All the while the atheist speaks of evil, evil reigns in their heart and life, in their DNA. I mean, even if they don't like what's about to be said, the fact of declaring there is no God and trying to talk people out of God, well, is a grave evil and is part of the Luciferic agenda to eradicate God. Now, Friday night, we're going to talk deeply on this subject of that the atheist's weakness will be the embrace of globalism. And the question is Richard Dawkins and atheists, are they a part of Psalm chapter 2, a prophecy of 3,000 years ago? Again tonight, want to say welcome to everybody. Want to say welcome to all the believers out there. Thank you for sending in some notes yesterday, letting us know you are listening. It's great to hear that. And I look today and seeing a few thousands of the archives. I know not everybody's able to listen Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 6 or Tuesday night at 7, but we're grateful to be able to have archives up, and you can go to them. Please, again, take time to go to shatterthedarkness.net. There's now three separate series that are offered up. One is ESP versus HSP. One is Psy Wars. One is The Rise of Homo Satanus, the idea of Satan in human skin, Antichrist. Now, we also have Dark Rituals, Dark Powers, which I think is going to be one of the most important series we've ever done. And we've finished up on a chapter that we're adding to the book, The Black Awakening. Now, listen, the book, The Black Awakening, it's can only be got off the website right now. And it sells every day, but it's the only book I know that offers 80 hours of conference and training materials, MP3s, to go along with the book, free. And the series that I'm talking about, all of them, which would be another 40 or more hours of MP3s, training, teaching, lectures, so forth, they would also be good to go along with the book, The Black Awakening. But we're also going to be adding, as of tonight at some point, they should be able to upload the first extra chapter to the book dealing with 500 million satanic rituals in the United States. Now, you'll have to read that. Now, everybody can take a look at that. It's going to be free for everybody. It'll be listed on the shatterthedarkness.net site. It'll be listed on www.theblackawakening.com site. And that'll be the first of about six extra chapters that will be added on to enhance the information in the book. We believe the book is a vital message for the end of days, vital and crucial in the ramping up of the dark side and the approach to the coming chaos and the rise of what so many know, the New World Order. Hey, by the way, we heard just the other day that the President of the United States is now using different terminology, but referring to a new world order, a new system that would come about. And so we're going to look more into that, but there was one report last night. We also looked at a report that was sent to us. Thank you, Tim, from out west. Here's the title of the article. You got to listen to this. Listen, Obama administration backs Vatican in the pedophile case. Now, I'm going to quote off the article. Here's what it says. The Obama administration, in a brief to the Supreme Court, has backed the Vatican's claim of immunity from lawsuits arising from the cases of sexual abuse by priests in the United States. The Supreme Court is considering an appeal by the Vatican of an appellate court ruling that lifted its immunity in the case of an alleged pedophile priest from Oregon. In a filing on Friday, the Solicitor General's office argued that the Ninth Circuit Court appeals erred in allowing the lawsuit brought by a man who claims he was sexually abused in the 1960s by an Oregon priest. The unnamed plaintiff, who cited the Holy See, Vatican, Pope, and several other parties as defendants, argued the Vatican should be held responsible for transferring the priest to Oregon and letting him serve there, despite previous accusations he had abused children in Chicago and in Ireland. Now here again, from the 50s and 60s and 70s, now there are thousands and thousands of abuse cases coming out of the Catholic Church and, you know, coming from other places too, but overwhelmingly the Catholic Church. And what's happened clearly is the shuffling around. It's happened here locally. We've engaged where there's been infiltration and pedophilia and satanic ritual abuse. And a lot of satanic ritual abuse, what is called the Black Rooms. Now, a Catholic by the name of William Kennedy, in a book called Lucifer's Lodge, spells this out clearly. It was Malachi Martin that commissioned him. Malachi Martin, operative in the Vatican and Jesuit among the Jesuits, believed that there is a deep, deep satanic order and a pedophile satanic ring within what is the largest institutional religious system in the world. And it's very clear that Cardinal Law, many others, have all shuffled around priests from one place to another when they got caught or when there were suspicions. So, interesting article. Wonder why the Obama administration is backing the Vatican, claiming immunity. And obviously now, too, there's implications that the current pope, please understand that when I use the terms pope or Catholic Church, I'm just like I would a mailman or somebody's written a letter that criticized that I'm not slashing the Catholic Church enough or at all and use terms like Catholic or pope. Please understand, I just use them as the functional names and titles. Do I believe in the concept of Pope? No, of course not. We don't find it biblically at all. And but we're not going to be dealing with that tonight. We have something that I think is what fuels the fire, though, of the atheist. Well, sexual abuse pouring out of the Catholic institution. Rape and injustice and Catholic and Protestant, quote, believers fighting each other in Ireland. Now, when I've listened even on videos this week of atheists, it does seem like they still attack God, Christianity, the Bible the most. They don't hardly speak about the atrocities in the Sudan where maybe 2 million have died at the hands of Muslims attacking and killing and persecuting and maiming and doing all kinds of stuff. So the great atrocity is there. And as far as religion is concerned, yeah, you're right. Religion has done a lot of harm. When we take a look at Jesus Christ, which we'll do tonight, we see one of the greatest men of peace ever in history, who does no violence, who does, you know, we don't see him involved in an insurrection or creating war, a political movement. And we even see him when Peter cuts off the ear of a servant of the political society, or of the high priest, rather, that Jesus heals this. And he speaks about that those who live by the sword will die by the sword. Now, we live in a world in which biblical prophecy, and the atheists can't do anything about this. They can't stop this. The atheists can only scream and get more angry and more defiant. There is no God, and religion is the fault, and that's where evil is, and but not have any other answers. Matter of fact, the atheist may be like a broken record, stuck on just screaming, there is no God. But as they scream, there is no God, the gnawing conviction that deals with their emptiness, their lack of, their lack of any concept of source of humanity, origins, endings, life and death and meaning and all of it. So there's a big issue here. See, I'll begin with the belief that there's no question that not only does God exist, but creation points, and that God says that mankind is without excuse concerning God's existence. Let me say this, the atheists could be mad at me tonight if they want to. I just simply believe that atheism is a cover-up. Atheism is an excuse. Atheism may involve itself in hiding, being somewhat the cloak that tries to hide the guilt of their own conscience, the lostness that they experience, and cover up even engagement or discussion on the topic of death. But again, that's what we're going to look into tonight, because tonight, Wednesday night, the atheist view of evil, all the while, evil is a code, a operative thing within their lives. It's not as though atheists are nice people. It's not as though we haven't seen the meanness that has come from an atheist. It's not as though Stalin, a atheistic communist, did not do evil. I mean, 17, 20, some say 40, million of his own Russian people did he slaughter. So let's make it very, very clear that atheistic, communistic Russia, where atheism was pumped, where atheism was hailed, didn't do a lot of good. So when I think in terms of the atheist, downtown Akron, downtown Canton, I see a soup kitchen, not run by atheists. I see a clothing place for people on the streets and the homeless. I see beds where they can sleep and places where they can take showers and places where they can get help. But none of it originating and started by atheists or run by atheists. I see believers that have started rescue missions, soup kitchens. I look in history to see where they begun hospitals and soul care and counsel and... Well, there's an incredible and I think a very important book out there. It's called By Their Influence. By Their Influence. It's a reference to a book that talks about human beings that did turn to God, that were influenced by God, how they stepped out, and they're the ones that began to develop hospitals and food, you know, soup kitchens and rescue places. Sorry, you lost things there for a second, but let me just mention again. We're going to take a look at two things tonight. And here's where, again, the atheist is going to have to be challenged. Instead of just yelling out, there is no God and religion is at fault for evil, I think the atheist needs to be challenged, boldly challenged. Then what do you believe? Where did the human race begin? What's the reason for existence? What's the reason or direction for life? Where did love come from and families come from and procreation come from? And Why is it that overwhelmingly throughout history that mankind does believe God exists? And where billions will believe in God and proclaim that they not only believe in, but know on a personal level. And I think that's the biggest thing as I read Dawkins's materials, as I read the God delusion. I just have to explain there just simply is no effect. There is no scare. There is no worry. There is no concern that, wow, I better get out of religion because, you know, Richard Dawkins has just persuaded me in such a way. Well, we're going to begin with two things tonight. One would be Romans chapter 8. Now, again, the atheist is going to say, yeah, you can't appeal to the scriptures. Well, why not? Who says you know, I mean, if you want to set those kind of rules, that's your own rules. If you want to nix God, nix the scriptures, nix all of that, that's your choice. But I have to go to Romans 8, where it speaks about fallen human nature and an operative power called a sin nature. And anybody that would study this would see that the sin nature is almost like a living operative principle in fallen humanity that drives humanity, fallen humanity, with a hostility towards God. Now, you're not going to hardly believe this, but that's what it says in Romans 8, that those operating in the sin nature, operating in that sarx, the fallen human nature, are hostile to God. Don't want to submit to God. They cannot submit to God because there is an operative dark presence inside Richard Dawkins, every atheist, every human being. I simply acknowledge this is the truth. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. Where the atheist might scream and dissociate all of their answers, while they scream that religion is at fault, while they're screaming, all the while they are yelling, they still have no answer for the existence of evil, the nature of evil, the evil that they themselves... You listen, you think atheists don't lie, don't commit adultery, don't cheat, don't steal? Come on. The only... Well, and I want to say... that it's really a self-justification. I really see that in some atheists that are screaming, and again, I'm watching videos left and right, and watching where, like the American Atheist Society here, and started in 1963, and I'm looking at this Alan Johnson, and I don't know how long ago the video was done, but I'm seeing real arrogance. And it's not as though they don't lie, they don't cheat, they don't steal, they don't get lonely, and they don't die. They die. Atheists die. Where does the atheist go when they die? The atheist would say, in the ground. Is that it? Is that the totality? Is that what you tell your children? When you die, you look at your children and say, we're dead, we're gone, we'll never see each other again, it's over, life begins and lives and ends. And by the way, dear children, religion is evil, so don't join it. Be free, be independent thinker, and be an atheist, and keep screaming out there that all of the talk about God is a delusion, and that God talk and religion is evil and causes trouble, so therefore live without it, and... I don't have the answers for the meaning of life, the origins of life, the reasons why we love. I can't give you the reasons why the world seems to be going down the tubes. I can't answer the fact that it looks like biblical prophecy is being fulfilled left and right. I don't know why we die. I don't know anything other than we are put into the ground and our bones rot. Let me ask the atheist, then, what is the value of a human being? You know, the physical body, why don't we just discard it in the dump like a goldfish flushed down the toilet? But yet we revere the human body. We don't even, I mean, some people do it with their pets. I know for hamsters and little dogs and things like, I mean, in our backyard, we have buried those little things over the years. Goldfish, well, obviously down the toilet. but a human being. There's such a value, even on the battlefield or where 9/11 was, the spotting of and picking up of a leg of an arm and collecting it for burial. Identification and burial. I mean, there's something about humanity that values the existence of man. And I believe in Francis Schaeffer, the great theologian, and I would urge an agnostic, an atheist to read Francis Schaeffer's book, The God Who Is There. And the sequel to that book, He Is There and He Is Not Silent. Francis Schaeffer came up with a term that he called the mannishness of man. The mannishness of man. And the term literally means that which is in mankind that seeks significance, importance, to affirm. It's the idea that we want to be loved, we want to be known, we want to be treated right. I mean, listen, the atheists that I've seen on the videos, the DVDs, the ones that I've read, the ones that I've talked to over the years, they don't want to be treated terribly. They don't want to be raped or harmed. They don't want to, you know, if they die, they haven't said, just throw me in the garbage with the rest of the garbage because it doesn't matter. There's, without question, a seeking of significance. I just don't know where the atheist gets it from. And even if the atheist exalts humanity, man is important. Man is, you know, mankind is, you know, important and valuable, and we need to evolve. Where did evolution come from? Evolve where? Where does the learning? I mean, are we evolving out of evil and becoming better and better all by ourselves? I mean, look at the world that you live in. You can feel it in the air. The so-called evolution is not an evolutionary process to goodness. It is clearly an evolutionary process of the satanic side, bringing in deeper, broader, a darker evil than has ever been expressed in human history. And so go the predictions of Scripture. So all the while, the atheist is saying, you know, that there is no God and that they are screaming that religion is the evil issue. They've got evil in their heart. They've got evil all around them. And I don't believe they really have the answers that will give. That's why there's not a whole lot. That's why you don't see. I mean, listen, when's the last time you've gone to an atheist meeting downtown or on the corner? Where's the last building in your city that just says the atheists' anti-God building or the atheists' association building? And, you know, you see thousands of people go in, and what do they do? Do they sing songs? Do they celebrate? Is it just about eating food? Are they just there to join together and spout off their bitternesses and their anger and their frustrations against, and their blame shifting of all of it on God, or at least on religion, because, of course, they say there is no God? See, blame shifting began the first day of fallen human history. Adam said, "It was the woman you gave me." Blame shifting that she's the one that caused it. It was the woman that said it was the serpent. Blame shifting to the serpent. There's no question the dark presence was to blame for bringing the temptation. But that God did give you and I, humanity, really humanity, a shield, one verse of Scripture, one verse, one word of God that would have preserved everything. We would not be having this radio time today. But because of a joining of an insurrection, of a hostility towards God, a casting out of God. That's what the whole fall of the human race is about. Cast off God. Close the door in God's face. Be exalted to your own godhood. And I really don't know where the atheist can go. I really don't know where they can go. I really don't know what is the source of any kind of joy, life, love. Well, here's the issue. The atheist claims there is no God. There is no God. So we got to ask the question then, where did evil come from? Where did it come from? And again, just out of anger, bitterness, arrogance, meanness, whatever, all came from religion. Did it really? Stalin slaughtering 20 or more millions of Russians? What about Hitler? What was the religion behind it? Was that the occult? Was that dark spirits? The atheist says there is no God, so obviously they would balk at and say there is no Satan. So they eliminate the Prince of Darkness. They eliminate the Prince of Peace. They eliminate the spiritual battle that is going on. And in so eliminating all of that, they shove themselves into a corner as if, you know, they're painting the floor and they painted themselves into a corner. They have nowhere to go. I mean, really, the atheist has nowhere to go. Where did evil come from then? Did it come from out of space? Was mankind just originating out of chance, out of nothingness? And we appeared on the scene of history and we've got evil in our hearts. We do evil, like the animal kingdom. We're just here to survive. I mean, there's a lot to connect atheism to Darwinism, though we can also question the foundations of Darwinism without question. Unless you want to believe you came from monkeys, that's up to you. I just haven't in my lifetime seen any monkeys turn into a man or any transitions or anything coming close to that. Can monkeys play with a ball? Can they build a house? Well, I think there's a vast difference, and I think it's really a sad blindedness that says all we are is like the monkeys and like the animals. We live and we die. And yet mankind screams for a greater significance than that. Mankind screams for longer life, longevity. Mankind screams for some kind of assurance. And you watch the world of theoretical physics as they talk about parallel universes and that, you know, death means we just slide over into... I mean, again, we're getting into this really... I mean, where's the proof of that? Where's the assurance there? Not even Houdini was able to communicate from the other side of this side. So for the atheist, there is no God. Where did evil come from? I don't think they have an answer. That it's a part of human nature. Well, okay, it's very clear that it is. I mean, anybody reading history, anybody living for, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, you know that there's evil in the world. You know that you have. You've done evil. I mean, the atheist that I would talk to knows that they've lied, they've cheated, that they've done wrong. They know the difference. They know that you shouldn't steal, kill, destroy, whatever else. But atheists do that. So where does evil come from? Again, it's a blank wall. It's literally running into a wall because there's nowhere to go with that. Number two, atheists spend a lot of time on blaming religion and saying that religion is the cause of wars and fighting and violence and so forth. And they're right as far as, quote, religion. I'm watching one of the documentaries where it's talking about religion. It talks about Islam and, you know, not, so many of the wars and, explosions and bombings and violence in so many places around the world. There's no question. Muhammad was a violent man. No question. That's historic. That's not judgmentalism. That's historic. And yet, when the atheist goes on referring to the Catholics and the Protestants, I would agree that there is hypocrisy. I would agree that there are those that would claim heaven but have no evidence of it. I would once again tell everybody tonight that anyone saying that they are a believer in Christ, that they are a real Christian, Jesus said you would know them by the fruit of their life. You would know it by the conduct of their life. If you look at the conduct of the life of Christ, if you look at all of what he's done, all how he lived, look at the violence done to him. Look how many times false religion wanted to take him to a cliff and throw him over the side of the cliff. Look how false religion sought him out, argued with him, and plotted his destruction. It was false, hypocritical religion mixed with satanic presence that guided the people of that day to crucify Christ. Look at what Jesus Christ went through. Look at the suffering. Look at the pain. Look at the blood. Look at the violence. Look at the death. Yes, he was in the mix of it. He was the recipient of it. The absolute recipient of it. And so the atheist, forgets, you know, Stalin and 40 million or 20 million or whatever the numbers are, between 17 and 40, as most say around 20 million Russians were slaughtered and killed. The Great Purge. And humanity's done that for a long time. And the problem that atheists are going to have is the next point I'm going to make. So the question, number one, where did evil come from? I don't think they have an answer. Number two, if they just blame religion and fixate on blame-shifting everything, of course that dissociates them from their own sin, their own lies, their own guilt, their own mortality, their own emptiness. But number three, what is the atheist going to do concerning the fulfilled prophecies? When Jesus talked about nation rising against nation, wars and famines, the love of most will grow cold, that we are entering the days Jesus said even now it's just like birth pangs. Just the beginning. I mean, the full onslaught of evil. Listen, if the atheist is bugged about evil, then they're really going to be bugged, because as we get to the great chaos and the rise of Antichrist, a third of humanity being destroyed, the abyss being opened, and humanity on their way to Armageddon. I mean, the atheists are going to have to deal with the fact that one third, which would be over 2 billion people right now, 2 billion or more, dead within less than 3.5 years. And they're going to have to say, where does this come from? It's a religious war. Well, in a real sense, it is. There is a dark side, a spiritual presence, and again, as long as the atheist nixes this as part of the answer, because they can't put the devil under a box, under their microscope, any more than they can put God under their microscope. It's not as though there are not evidences and proofs. They're just not the multiple demands for proof. I mean, who is Richard Dawkins? Honestly, let's just ask, who is Richard Dawkins to stand with, you know, arrogantly looking up into the air, demanding more proof? I mean, literally, you know, screaming, there is no God, but yet prove there is, or show more proof, and I only want what is true. Well, only which, you know, in other words, only what I can nail down by my preset need to evidence life. Forget the fact of all creation. Forget the fact of millions and millions, billions of individuals knowing God, maybe. And forget the fact of all these things, Jesus in history, the resurrection. Forget the fact of all these things. I mean, the atheist is almost as bad as the Pharisee, or maybe worse. The Pharisee demanding, show me a sign, then I'll believe. Jesus wouldn't bow down to their conditions, because he knew that what they were asking was only concealing their own sin. They, the Pharisees, were so arrogant about their self-righteousness and self-rightness, that they thought that they had the right to make God bow down to their conditions. When all the while, God speaks to Richard Dawkins, God speaks to the atheist, no, you are the sinner, you are the one that's lost, you are the one that brought death in, and you are the one in need of help. And here are my conditions. Here is what I say. And here's how it goes. The atheist may be exhibiting the pinnacle of the sin, self-exalting nature of fallen humanity. That mankind will be his own God. Really? You know, tell me about it at the time of death. Tell me when you're not able to stop the radical evil going on in the world. Listen, the third point here tonight is, what are the atheists going to do when biblical prophecy that has always been infallibly accurate 100% of the time on massive, massive worldwide events and on the details, as it predicts the end of the age getting worse, more demonic presence, more spiritual confusion, more violence, more war, more rape, to the point that there's going to be a bursting out, when you read the four horses, Revelation 6, the red horse, the Greek word pyros, this fiery red horse bursts out. Now notice, takes peace from the earth. And literally, in a real sense, all hell is unleashed in the sense that a slaughtering, mankind begins to, the Greek word used is butcher one another. And so the atheist can just sit back and say, see, that's religious, or see, that's, you know, keep blaming it. And listen, all the way to hell, you can keep blaming everybody else. All the while you're a sinner, all the while you are separate, all the while you are finite. And you don't have the answers. You don't have the answers to origins, to the meaning of life, the ending of life, the afterlife. You have no answers. Only angry, bitter blame. I think the atheist deep inside is more mad at God than they are convinced that God doesn't exist. And that's part of the, well, the trick. The methodology of the dark side. Like in Job's case, strike the individual again and again and again with all the bad that can possibly happen, and make them mad at God. Listen, I would say that tonight there are those that are right now listening, by the archives too, that in some ways have been mad at God. Because bad things happen, because bad things in the world are happening, because the love of you, of most, the Bible says, is growing cold. That means bitterness and anger, resentment begins to fill the heart and life. Blame shifting. And so all of that crowds out God, and the Bible's very clear about anger. Take a read of Ephesians 4, where the Spirit of God says, don't give the devil a foothold, room to get into your life. Well, from what? From undealt with anger. Anger that sits there night after night after night after night after night. It can clearly be the dissociative blanket that blocks your spiritual ears from the wisdom, the kindness, the mercy, the insight of God, the healing of Jesus, and yet open you to being fueled by the dark side all the more. Matter of fact, I think that when I engage individuals that literally hate God, I think, again, the atheist more hates God than they do in any way believe that God does not exist. They don't know if God exists. They can't prove it one way or the other, they say. What are they going to do when prophecy is being fulfilled, when eventually the Antichrist comes to power and globalism is here? Now, Friday night, I'm going to say that when atheists stick to their convictions and with all of their heart reject the Spirit of God, biblical revelation, and Christ, then they will be prime targets for the worst counterfeit when an atheist sees the Antichrist as the man of peace, the economic savior, the ecological savior, the multinational globalist savior. Won't the atheist say, well, this is my God, the Antichrist is my guy? Yes, I believe in mankind. Look, a new age, a globalism. I'm going to talk about that Friday, how I think atheists will fall prey to the deepest of Luciferic masquerading deceit. Because the atheist has no, even though they believe they are free thinkers, I'm going to say very clearly that spiritually they are unaided in their thinking, and even more so, biblical revelation would say that the lost atheist has a sin nature operative within them that seeks to drive them away from God, trying to give them reason after reason after reason, that opens the door for the dark side in masqueraded seduction and deception to keep them out on that field, keep them preoccupied. Let me just say the fourth point really is this. What will the atheist do when the Antichrist does arise, as I've just said? How will the atheist be able to perceive? Will they give in? Will they join? Will they take the mark of the beast eventually? Will they be a part of the system? What will they do by the time of the mid part of the tribulation time when over 2 billion... over a third of mankind is dead. And the greatest destruction to the environment, to the economic system, and the greatest dictatorial ruling system shows its real face by midway through. And the wrath of Antichrist is unleashed. What will the atheists do when the Antichrist decrees the killing of all believers worldwide and the destruction and annihilation of Israel as part of the decree, as Hitler, you know, wanted in the past? Will the atheists fight that? Or will they simply just say, well, yeah, that's a good idea. Get rid of all the religious people. What does the atheist have to arm themselves in the end of days? Does the atheist ever really look at Jesus? Does the atheist ever really look at how he interacted with people and how he engaged individuals? Will the atheist ever look to the Son of God that was beaten and, in fulfillment of a 700-year-old prophecy, Isaiah 53, taken to the cross? Will the atheist ever be able to understand the depth of the cross? Will the atheist ever be able to understand the words of Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do? Will the atheist ever feel coming into them the Spirit of God that applies the blood of Christ to the forgiveness of the totality of their sin? Will the dried up, empty hole in the soul of the atheist, will they ever get to feel the love of God, the joy, the peace, the divine optimism, the hope that God can give now by the Spirit of God? Will the atheist ever know the rivers of living water that John's Gospel, chapter 7, speaks of? Listen, you don't have to be an atheist right now, right here, to realize that you don't know God and that you do not have the experience of, the application of, the forgiveness of God in Christ, the love of God in Christ, the gift of the Holy Spirit inside your life, the power of God inside your life, the gift of indestructible immortality inside your life, the joy of the Lord, the joy of personal friendship. And see, this is the message of God in Christ. God loves you. God, listen, the value of a man, of a woman, of a teenager listening is measured at the foot of the cross. On the one hand, as Christ dies in our place and for us with one goal, to redeem us, to get us, because God desires us, God wants us. Listen, despite what the atheist says, because the truth is many atheists have gotten saved, have come to Christ. Even Alistair McGath, the theologian that has debated Richard Dawkins, the worldwide known aggressive atheist, was once himself an atheist. You see, the good news is you don't have to remain an atheist. Regardless of what the atheists have told you and screamed at you and embedded into your head, here's the words of God. God so loved you, the world, you. God did not send Jesus into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. That God's will is that you be saved. That God does not want anyone to perish. That Jesus dying on the cross, saying the words, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," is applied to the atheist, whether you like it or not, whether you want it or not. You can reject God, but that doesn't, your rejection, your writing a book, clearly does not annihilate God or pull out of the scripture the living presence of God. The atheist can scream all the way to the grave, "There is no God," and then die. You ever read in Hebrews chapter 9? It is destined on demand once to die, and then the judgment. You ever read in the book of Ecclesiastes that when a man dies, his spirit leaves, goes back to God who gave it? That there is the accounting. So the atheist is going to, listen, I don't care whether you believe it or not, whether you state it or not, whether you've dissociated, all, you know, whether you're blocking your brain or not, but the fact is you're held accountable, you're lost, you're in your own sin, what are you going to do about it? You're going to die, what are you going to do about it? Because the atheist's abyss is this: you don't have any hope. You don't have any expectation. As a human being that has received God in Christ and received the gift of the Spirit of God, inside of me, the Spirit of God, bigger than humanity, bigger than the spirit of a man, communicates. The evidences are what God says they are, not what man says they are. The proofs are what God says they are, not what mankind, not what angry, arrogant mankind says or demands that they be. The Pharisees demanded, they wanted Jesus to dance their dance. He wouldn't do it. And Jesus is not going to bow down and dance the dance of Richard Dawkins. But Jesus did die for Richard Dawkins. Jesus is not willing that Richard Dawkins perish. I mean, even if Richard Dawkins ever listened to this broadcast and listened to these words, even as I've seen in the videos, a strong, dyed-in-the-wool, arrogant, "There is no God, obviously you don't believe the Bible," but on this side of the fence, it doesn't make any difference. Because by your atheistic belief, you can't nix God. You haven't. And like today, whosoever, anywhere, listening to this voice, or in the archives a year from now listening, hear the words that I would quote out of John's Gospel chapter 7, when Jesus says, And he cried this out. And he says, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of their inmost self, their inner being, out of the inside, from the inside out, will come the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. There is a witness that comes not only to you, the Spirit of God, to convince, to summon, to convict you of your sin, to let you know of sin, righteousness, and judgment, to let you know that if you're in your sin, the guilt is on your head, that if you don't have the righteousness of Christ, you don't have your own. And you can't get into heaven with your own. You can't. You're already hell bound, and you're going to die. And judgment at the end. You're the sinner. You're the one in error. You're the one that's done wrong. You're the one, not God. Christ on the cross, the sinless one, he didn't die for himself. He did not go to the cross for himself. He didn't break any laws. He didn't sin. Why is Jesus hanging on the cross? 2012ers need to answer that. New Agers need to answer that. Occultists need to answer that. Satanists, Luciferians, and those that do the recon on this show. You need to answer that. You need to answer, you know, again, why? And if it's a matter of, you know what, you just reject. See, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it does say this, referring to those who do die and go to hell. They perish because, this is the end of the story, my friend. They perish because they refused to love the truth and so be saved. The atheist talks about truth. Well, what's the truth about evil? What's the truth about origins, the source of life, the meaning of life, the end of life? You don't have any answers. That's the truth. So, if you're declaring that a person needs to be open-minded, well, then be open-minded. A man was at a university screaming into the crowd, the Bible is wrong, the Bible's full of errors, there is no God, on and on and on. I stepped into the middle of the crowd. I pointed to the man in the black jacket screaming those words. I simply said, have you ever read the scriptures yourself? His shoulders went down, his head went down, and he shook his head, and he said, no, I never read it. And he slipped out of the crowd. I turned around and proclaimed the gospel, shared Christ. Dozens came to me wanting gospel tracts, materials, and wanted to hear some answers. The answer right now, my friend, is that God loves you. Right now, turn to the living Christ. Receive him. For the believers, not only is it all true, it's always been all true. Stand in your faith, step out in faith, be fierce in your prayers, win the world to Christ. This is Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net on the web. Good night, my friends.